Welcome to the Backass Words podcast. We are the Backass Words boys. My name is Kyle. I use he, they pronouns. And joining me from our beautiful Colorado studio is Arden.
And I use he, him pronouns.
Tonight, guys, gals, and enemy pals, Arden is going to be starting our multi-part series on Casey Anthony and the death of Kaylee Anthony.
Correct. This is our coming back to true crime after not doing it for a really, really long time, at least in the show's catalog, at least.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about it, in my little intro, before the outline really starts, but this is obviously a very big case. It's a very sensitive case. It's about a really disturbing subject matter. And so, we are going to try to approach the story as respectfully as possible while also still, you know, giving you guys something enjoyable to listen to.
And with that being said, guys, tonight's episode is going to get into some topics that might be sensitive for some of our listeners. Talking about the tragic death of Kaylee Anthony means talking about child neglect, child abuse, death, and specifically the death of a 2.5-year-old child. We will also be playing several 911 calls in tonight's episode. We care a lot about our audience, and we want to make sure that you folks are as safe as possible while listening. So if tonight's episode doesn't work for you, we'll see you in our next series.
And this is your reminder, especially with true crime and stuff like this, to always take care of yourselves when consuming media. If you don't know what you're getting into, you might not know how you feel coming out the end of an hour-long podcast, so please, please, please take care of yourselves. We will see you in our next series. And tonight's episode is also bringing back lollipop episodes. This is a lollipop episode. So if you make it to the end of this episode, please get yourself something sweet to munch on afterwards, because you will have definitely earned it. I can promise you that.
Also, before you get into your sources, I feel like maybe it's worth putting... Oh. Big old allegedly across this entire series.
Yeah, I think that that's fair to say. And a lot of people know why.
Everything that I specifically say during this entire series.
And I think a lot of people know why Kyle is making a point to say this right now. And it is due to the fact that Kaylee's death remains to be unsolved at this point. Like, it's been ruled a homicide, but they don't know who did it. And we're going to talk about that later in the series. But yes, big old allegedly across everything here.
Yeah.
And with that, I would like to list my sources for tonight's episode before we dive into it. And of course, every time you listen to this podcast, first stop on the research train is our good friend Wikipedia.
Allegedly.
Thank you. I needed that.
Because we allegedly stan Wikipedia on this motherfucking podcast, hypothetically speaking.
Allegedly. I used Wikipedia's page on the death of Kaylee Anthony. I also went to biography.com and read their page on Casey Anthony. I also went to criminalbrief.com, which is a timeline of the Casey Anthony case, which I highly, highly recommend that you all go look at. It's very informational. It tells you the story in a very succinct way. It's a table. It's a timeline.
Oh, whoa. This is great.
I will also be listing two documentaries in tonight's episode. The first one that I watched was Casey Anthony, An American Murder Mystery, which is streaming on Hulu. And I also watched JCS's video on Casey Anthony entitled There's Something About Casey on JCS Criminal Psychology. And I also pulled our 911 call tonight from YouTube from a user named Kaylee Schwab. The video is entitled 911 Call Casey Anthony. And I also used one more YouTube clip, actually. And this one is called Casey Anthony Case 911 Call Skull Reported by Utilities Company. Oh, wait, no, I'm not using this in tonight's episode. Sorry. That would be easy to edit, though. Oh,
that call.
Yeah, I'm not using that in tonight's episode, but...
I hate the 911 calls. Oh, boy. Okay. I literally...
That second... Yeah.
I have a sweet treat right here. I'm ready for it.
You deserve it.
But, you guys, we are not scholars, and we are probably going to get some things wrong.
Yes, you just heard all of my sources, so please, forgive me.
And we are also not linguists. We are probably going to say some things wrong. We are also not
criminologists
or lawyers or anything like that. We're two Joe Schmoes.
Yes.
Talking about a case here.
Exactly.
Now, hold on to your asses. Because things are about to get backwards. Take us in, Arden.
Folks, tonight and over the next, I think, 3 episodes or so, we are going to be discussing one of the most heartbreaking true crime cases that has ever occurred, in my personal opinion. During the time of this case, and even several years after this case, there is so much emotion surrounding this, and for good reason, I would say. This case unfortunately discusses, like we said in our content warning, something that was determined to be the homicide of a 2.5-year-old little girl named Kaylee Anthony. And as with any true crime case, we will be attempting to tell the story as accurately and respectfully as possible due to the disturbing and unsettling nature of this case in particular. The entire case, however, unfortunately, revolves around Kaylee's mother, Casey Anthony.
Yeah, because she fucking did it. Sorry, getting that out of the way. She fucking did it, dude.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know.
Sorry if you're building something here. She fucking did it, dude.
I know. And I'm totally comfortable. And I'm totally comfortable saying that at the top here as well. Like, again, exactly what I'm saying. There is so much legitimate, justified anger, frustration, and emotion surrounding this case because of the shit I'm about to tell you over the next couple of weeks. And Casey Anthony is a known liar, and in my personal opinion, a severe narcissist, although there was no mental illness determined by any of the psychologists that eventually got involved with Casey Anthony, which one could say makes the circumstance even worse. And like I said, unfortunately, we will be discussing Casey Anthony for the majority of this series. And I just want to preface this entire series by saying that we will in no way be endorsing this horrifying behavior perpetrated by Casey. We will be attempting to understand the point A to point B of this story, but we will be discussing this from the perspective of this shit is horrifying and we are in no way endorsing this behavior. However, it is extremely difficult to understand this case solely based on Casey Anthony's behavior. As weird as it is to say, the focus around this case and at the time... As weird as it is to say, the focus around this case at the time and even several years later is not about the tragic death of Kaylee Anthony. The focus of this case has always been centered around her mother Casey's reactions, behavior, and attitude towards the disappearance and the eventual death of her daughter. This is unfortunately what captivated people the most. Again, I cannot tell you how frustrating and heartbreaking this case is. No matter how many parts this series ends up being. I will tell you all right now, very similar to the vibe that you're getting from me and Kyle here, right at the top. This case will piss you the fuck off. It is confusing. It is perplexing. And whenever I interact with this case, I am constantly asking myself, why? How could this happen this way? How can someone act this way? And to be quite honest with you folks, I don't know if we're going to be able to answer those questions by the end of the series. I know we had a content warning at the beginning of the episode, but I just want to reiterate how important it is to take care of yourself while you're consuming this kind of content. Do you have anything that you would like to say before we get into this, Kyle?
I mean, you did a pretty good job of covering it there. This case is tragic. No matter how you break it down, no matter what the truth of it turns out to be, whatever we believe versus whatever the truth actually is, you know. It's heartbreaking. And but it's really, it's one of the ones that we want to talk about, and we thought it was worth kind of stepping back into true crime to talk about, because of some of the things that we're going to cover in the next couple of weeks here. This case is worth talking about, and Kaylee's story is worth telling, and as many times as I'm gonna say, you know, fuck Casey Anthony, throughout the course of this,
me too,
series, which I'm sure will be several times. Again, we really just want to tell Kaylee's story here.
The whole focus of this will be trying to reconcile and understand, and again, like we said, we're not like justice bringers. There's nothing that Kyle or I or anyone listening at home can do about this situation, but I just feel like that if justice will not be carried out via the law, which, sorry, spoiler alert, if you don't know what the fuck happened during the trial, sorry, but because there is no justice in that sense, I feel like talking about it and shedding a light on how big a piece of a shit Casey Anthony is, I guess, to me, some form of emotional release and justice, because this is so frustrating.
Yeah.
And now, without any further ado, here's part one. Born on March 19th, 1986, in Warren, Ohio, Casey Anthony was one of two children to parents Cindy and George Anthony, with George, her father, working in law enforcement. And her brother's
That's
name
a
is
fucking cop.
Huh? That's gonna be important later.
Interesting.
Interesting, isn't it? Her brother's name is Lee, by the way. Lee Anthony. Cindy and George, their parents, were married in 1981. Their daughter, Casey, was described as a bright, personable young girl with friends and what many thought was a regular, ordinary, nuclear American family. And this is an extremely important aspect to the case, especially in the pre-trial era. All right? However, something else that is also important about this case, and kind of tonight's main point, this episode's main point, is that Casey Anthony has a history, and I mean a history, of lying.
And not just, like, little white lies.
No.
Like, big, wild, impossible lies.
Elephant-sized lies. Like, her pants are always on fire because she's a liar. You know what I mean?
Like, and, like, lies that it is impossible that she wouldn't get caught in.
Literally impossible.
Yeah.
She lied about everything. Casey's friends say that a pattern of lying began when she was in high school. So her parents, Cindy and George, attended Casey's graduation, along with Casey's grandparents, who also attended the graduation, only to discover the day before the graduation ceremony that she was several credits short of graduating due to truancy during her senior year of high school. She just straight up stopped going to school at the end of the school year. But she led her family to believe that she would walk with the graduating class. Casey, up until this point, had been doing all of the stuff that you would do before you graduate high school. Taking senior pictures, getting her gown and tassels, sending invitations, graduation cards, etc. All of that bullshit. So to anybody on the outside, you would have no idea that she was short of graduating. Casey did not end up graduating high school during that ceremony, obviously. She never obtained her high school diploma. Her parents, I swear to God, dude, like, you cannot make this shit up. This shit is wild to me. Her parents, for some fucking reason, either believed her or attempted to shield embarrassment on the family. They literally doubled down with Casey, with their friends and family, that she was going to graduate, and furthermore, that she was going to graduate with honors. Dude. Oh, God.
See what I mean? Like, lies that there's no way she wasn't going to get caught in.
Nope. They even threw her a graduation party the day after the ceremony. They made a whole thing about it, Kyle.
Did they still have the party?
Yeah, they had the party. Yes. Yes, they lied. They doubled down. They were like, yes, she's graduating high school with honors. They had the party.
Now I fully understand what you were saying. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Bro. After the whole graduation fiasco, in case if you're curious, Casey was able to get her GED, her good enough degree, so.
I've never heard that before. That's great.
But of course, the lies did not stop at her high school graduation, Kyle. Because, I mean, like, here's the thing.
She didn't learn her lesson?
No, she didn't. But, like, here's the thing, man. Is like, at the end of the day, like, who really cares, right, if you graduate high school or not? Like, who gives a fuck? Like, it's early on in her life, but, like, whatever. I could also understand, like, some random high schooler being like, I'm not going to tell my parents that I'm not going to graduate fucking high school. Like,
I will wait until this
blows up in my face. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the lies didn't stop there, obviously. When Casey was 19 years old, she gave her family another shock. Casey, to the outside appearance, had put on weight, and her parents suspected that she was pregnant. Casey, in response to this, vehemently denied it, claiming that she was a virgin. She was like, no, I haven't had sex. I'm a virgin, mom and dad. No.
She was playing that card, huh?
Eventually, several months into her pregnancy, which it was a pregnancy, she told her parents the truth. I believe that if I remember correctly, she was 7 months pregnant when she finally came clean about it. Which is just kind of funny, you know what I mean?
And this is Kaylee?
Yeah, this is Kaylee. She's pregnant with Kaylee. Okay. Yes, she's pregnant with Kaylee. Something that I think is interesting and important to note right here is her mother Cindy's reaction to this in particular. It's almost like when Casey came clean about her being pregnant, Cindy just immediately, like without a second thought, immediately took Casey's side of the story and ran with it. She too claimed, after she learned about Casey's pregnancy, that Casey was not pregnant. just immediately joining the lie, enabling this otherworldly attitude towards the situation.
That is absolutely nuts.
Uh-huh. When people would ask Casey's parents about the body changes that Casey was experiencing because she was fucking pregnant, they would brush it off and simply say she's put on weight. That's what they would say to the baby bump. 7 months in, they would be like, she's put on weight.
Okay.
Not to give the game away too much right here, folks, but this is unfortunately a pattern that will occur again and again and again and again during this case. The identity of Kaylee's father, however, remained and continues to remain a mystery. Casey pointed to different men, including her fiancé at the time, Jesse Grund, and she also noted another young man that she dated before Jesse who died in a car crash. So, like, I guess good luck getting a DNA test there, but that's probably another lie. How convenient that he died, you know?
Yeah.
And so, on August 9th, 2005, Kaylee Anthony was born. A friend of Casey's said that she had discussed giving up Kaylee for adoption, but was discouraged by Cindy, her mother. Something interesting and to me disturbing to note here is that Cindy, Casey's mother and Kaylee's grandmother, was the first person to hold Kaylee after she was born.
I'm sorry, what?
Mm-hmm. And what Cindy says about this moment is that the nurse, quote unquote, needed to give the baby to someone. And I guess that Casey was not able to take the baby. The Cindy side of the story was not able to take the baby, Casey. And so she was the first person to hold Kaylee Anthony. And when Cindy was holding Kaylee for the first time, she said, retrospectively about this moment, quote,
oh, come on, dude.
It's what? Your one quote. It's your one quote.
Fucking psycho. What the hell? Cut that out. What?
Okay. I know, dude.
It was like having Casey all over again.
Dude.
What?
Dude. Why? No. I hate that. I hate that so much. I can't even describe, like, why it makes me so uncomfortable. You know what I mean? It's just weird to me. Like, the circumstance is weird.
Yeah.
Like, she, first of all, she's the first person to hold her. And then she says, like, it's having Casey all over again. I don't know, man. It's kind of, it rubs me the wrong way.
Well, and then she goes on to be a very, very involved grandmother.
Correct. To say the least, it's a strange circumstance and a really weird thing to say. Cindy was, as Kyle just mentioned, extremely excited to be a grandmother. And, like Kyle just mentioned, she was borderline obsessed with her granddaughter, Kaylee. She loved that little girl. I think I'm comfortable with saying that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it was like a weird, like, I'm involved in everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
For the next few years, Casey and Kaylee lived with Casey's parents, Cindy and George. And Jesse Grund, her boyfriend at the time, acted as the baby's father. He was the dad who stepped in.
Was there ever a paternity test with Jesse?
I think that there was a paternity test, and Jesse is not the father. No one knows who the father is.
Okay, interesting. But he stepped up and acted as the father.
Yep. He believed that Kaylee might be his baby at the time, despite knowing that the timing of the conception made it improbable. And Like I just said, the DNA test later revealed it's not Kaylee's father.
Sorry, I didn't just let you read your outline.
No, you're good. No, you're good. No, I would much rather answer the questions organically, for real.
But you're reading them perfectly. I'm not reading ahead, I promise. These are just coming up.
Dude, that's when you know that
right off the bat.
Dude, that's when you know that you're writing it good, is when you're asking exactly the right questions into the next one. But we are not done talking about the lies, folks. In fact, as we continue throughout this series, the lies only get more elaborate. And I mean fucking elaborate.
Is it Universal Studios or is it Disneyland?
Universal, dude.
Dude.
Universal makes me want to fucking die. We're going to talk about it.
Is that this episode?
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Fuck
dude.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. We're talking about it this episode. During the time that Casey lived with her parents, her mother, Cindy, was one of the primary caretakers of Kaylee. If not, arguably the primary caretaker of Kaylee. This was in part due to the fact that Casey claimed, allegedly, that she had a job in Orlando Studios as an event planner in Florida. This whole story takes place in Florida, by the way. I'm so sorry
that
I did not mention this. This takes place in Orlando, in Orange County, Florida. And I am from Florida. I am a Florida man. This happened where I was born, so... This, her having a job in Universal Studios, was later found out in the investigation to be a complete and utter lie. But the extent to which Casey went to perpetuate this lie is what is the most shocking aspect to me, personally. Casey kept up appearances during this time period of having a job by leaving every single day for work for several hours and then coming back home and talking about her days at work in great fucking detail. Casey additionally went as far as to create fake email accounts in which she would send emails back and forth to herself, to her personal email and to these fake email addresses, again, to make it look like that she had a job and was regularly corresponding with her employer and her clients.
It would be easier to just get a fucking job. And then you at least...
She did not want to.
She's literally putting in the amount of work that she would at a job.
No, because here's the... Here, take this out, because I think that we're going to talk about this later in the series. This is what I have to say to you in this regard, Kyle. I think that she's a narcissist, personally. Yes. Yeah. And with that comes a great deal of, unfortunately, in her case in particular, not all narcissists, but in her case, she's very selfish. She's very self-centered.
Yeah.
And so with that, I think that she did not want to work. And I think that this is much easier than having a job, like writing a couple fake emails. And I think what makes this a lot easier for Casey Anthony in particular is that I also furthermore believe she is a pathological liar.
Yeah. Oh,
it is automatic. She can create a lie so easy. You're going to see it in the fucking audio recordings that we're going to play tonight. She can fabricate it on the goddamn spot.
It's kind of scary.
It's insane.
In real time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that for Casey Anthony in particular, she didn't want to work. And this is, in a twisted, fucked up way, easier for her than getting a job.
I mean, you're right. But like, oh, my God.
I know. In mid-June. Excuse me. In mid-June of 2008, with her suitability as a mother being called into question by her mother, Cindy, Casey left her parents' home after a major argument with her parents, taking Kaylee with her. Casey told her mother, Cindy, that she was taking Kaylee to her nanny, who Casey identified as Zenaida Zanny Fernandez Gonzalez. And the next day, she further informed Cindy that the three of them, so her, Kaylee, and Zenaida, were heading to Tampa, Florida on a work trip to Hillsborough County.
Dude, I forgot about Zanny the nanny. Oh my god.
Zanny the nanny, dude. If you know this case, you know why Kyle is reacting the way that they are. If you don't know who Zanny the nanny is, I am so sorry. I am so sorry to do this to you.
You gotta build to it.
At this point, when they leave Cindy and George's house, Casey was no longer dating Jesse. He was no longer the dad who stepped up. He was out of the picture. But she had a new boyfriend named Tony Lazaro, who we're going to talk about a lot more in part two, but just hold on to that. Over the ensuing weeks after Casey left with Kaylee, Cindy called her daughter damn near every day to check on her granddaughter. And every single time that Cindy asked about Kaylee, Casey would tell her mom that her daughter was out with the babysitter, Zanny the nanny. Every single time.
This was over the course of like a month, dude, right?
We're going to talk about that. But here's the thing. I want to make this very clear. Every single time, I mean literally every single time Cindy asked about Kaylee, she was with the babysitter. She was with the nanny every time during this time period. Okay? That's important for the disappearance and the murder aspect of it. Okay?
Right.
On July 13th, 2008, Cindy and George received a letter saying that Casey's car was in a tow yard, and it was actually her mom's car, but that was the car that Casey always used and would drive around in. And so that's why Cindy and George got the letter that it was impounded, right? When George, Casey's father, went to go pick up the car, he found Casey's purse along with Kaylee's car seat and Kaylee's toys. George also noticed a strong smell coming from the trunk of the car, similar to that of decomposing organic matter, is how he described it.
And he would know what that smells like because he was a fucking cop for years and years and years.
Exactly. He was in law enforcement. So he knows what that smells like. Okay? I'm just going to say that. When the trunk of the vehicle was opened, and I will say that George and Cindy opened the trunk of this car, it contained only a single bag of trash. A trash bag. Okay?
Right.
Alarmed, Cindy found Casey at the home of her boyfriend, Tony Lazaro, and brought Casey home. She drove over to her boyfriend's house and was like, you're fucking coming home with me right now. And they go back to her parents' house, right?
Do we know, did they leave the trash bag in the trunk?
They did not.
They took it out when they found it.
Correct. They took it out when they found it, which was a mistake.
Yeah. But I think it would also be telling.
That's one.
Yeah. They left it in and then didn't immediately call the police, but instead we're like, hey, Casey, what's going on?
There's at least two wrong things happening right now in this moment.
We're already getting into some suspicious territory here.
We're missing some heavy marks right now, and it's only going to get heavier, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, brings Casey home. Casey ended up telling her mother and her brother, Lee, that she had left Kaylee with the nanny, Zanny the nanny, Zenaida Fernandez-Gonzalez, in Orlando on June 16th, and that Zenaida had kidnapped the toddler.
On June 16th, and this is on July 13th.
This is on July 15th.
On 15th. So that's, what, 29 days?
31 days.
Oh, my God.
This was quite literally Cindy's worst nightmare. 31 days.
The best story that she could come up with is that the babysitter kidnapped her a month ago. And she has not done anything to try and track her down.
Nope. And,
or at least not alerted anybody to try and help her.
Yes.
Track down her missing two and a half year old daughter.
Correct. So, you want to know what her story was?
I'm already so fucking angry. Holy shit.
You want to know what her story is? She's literally like, oh yeah, I dropped her off. And then when I went to pick her up, nobody was home. Nobody was there. Not Zanny, not the child, not nothing. That's her story. Okay?
That's what we're running with, huh?
That's what Casey's running with, yeah.
You know what, Arden? I think she's making sense here. I want to... Let's go with her. Let's see what she has to say for herself. That's all I'm saying. Is she was found not guilty.
You're correct.
Let's see what she has to say for herself.
Okay, let me tell you what she said.
Let's try and be impartial here.
Okay, I'll tell you what she said. Okay. We could do that. Immediately after hearing this news, okay? Immediately after learning that her granddaughter had been missing for 31 fucking days, Cindy immediately reported this to the Orange County Sheriff's Office. And we are going to be playing a portion of this 911 call for you right now. And what you're about to hear is Cindy placing a call to 911 with Casey getting on the phone with the 911 dispatcher towards the end. This clip in particular is very, very disturbing and quite frankly, very, very infuriating. So please, 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 with this 911 call in particular, please proceed with caution. Yes. If you do not want to listen to this 911 call, skip the next minute and a half of this podcast. All right? Here's your 3-second warning.
What's your emergency?
I called a little bit ago. The deputy said I found out my granddaughter has been taken. She has been missing for a month. We're talking about a 3-year-old little girl. My daughter finally admitted that the baby's in the store. I need to find her.
Your daughter admitted that the baby is where?
The babysitter took her a month ago. My daughter's been looking for her. I told you my daughter was missing for a month. I just found her today, but I can't find my granddaughter. And she just admitted to me that she's been trying to find her herself. There's something wrong. I found my daughter's car today, and it smells like there's been a dead body in the damn car.
Okay, what is the 3-year-old's name?
Kaylee. C-A-Y-L-E-E. Anthony.
Kaylee Anthony?
Yes.
How long has she been missing for?
I have not seen her since the 7th of June.
Is your daughter there?
Yes.
Can I speak with her?
Okay, is there a sheriff's department? They want to talk to you. Answer the question. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you tell me what's going on a little bit?
I'm sorry?
Can you tell me a little bit what's going on?
My daughter's been missing for the last 31 days.
And you know who has her?
I know who has her. I've tried to contact her. I actually received a phone call today now from a number that is no longer in service. I did get to speak to my daughter for about a moment, about a minute.
Who has her? Do you have a name?
Her name is Zenaida Fernandez.
Now,
dude,
I think that perfectly answers the question I was about to ask you. How are you feeling right now, Kyle?
So fucking angry, dude. Oh my god. How do you have nothing to say to the 911 dispatcher when your daughter has been missing for a month?
Yeah.
What do you mean you have nothing to say to them?
And something that I will say right here is that you guys heard that video kind of cut off. It was kind of the best one that I could find, but there is more to that recording. And essentially what happens for the rest of the recording is that the 911 dispatcher ends up asking Casey Anthony in this moment, if she's been missing for 31 days, why didn't you call the police 31 days ago?
Mm-hmm.
And which is a wonderful question.
Yeah.
Excellent question. And Casey's response to this is, I was trying to take care of it myself. I thought I could take care of it myself. And I was afraid that if I got the police involved or if I got the media involved, that harm would come to my daughter. Again, in that very calm demeanor that she had in the clip you just listened to. And then the police arrive at the house and the call ends. Okay? That's what happens for the rest of that 911 call.
I mean, I want to say, like, yeah, we'll see how that answer holds up in court, but apparently it holds up pretty fucking well.
I'm sorry, I am going to correct you on this. It doesn't hold up in court because, I'm sorry if this is giving away too much here in part one, this 911 call pretty much has no bearing on what the trial actually ended up being about.
Right.
Due to the defense, but we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that next week. But I will say that this was presented as evidence in court, but it had no weight against the defense because the defense was telling a completely different story.
Right.
And we can continue discussing this. I'm just going to read the outline part of what I have here. What's most shocking about this 911 call, to me at least, is the fact that Casey fully admits that her daughter has been missing for a full month. She says that on a recording to a 911 dispatcher. It's not like Cindy didn't let the cat out of the bag already, but she doubly confirms that. Which brings into question a lot, to say the least, I would say. Something else that people point out, and I'm sure that you folks picked up on, is the difference in demeanor between Cindy Anthony and Casey Anthony. Cindy, her grandmother, Kaylee's grandmother, as you just heard, is very obviously upset about her granddaughter's disappearance / kidnapping, right? Whereas, again, as you just heard, when Casey starts talking to the 911 officer, there is a tonal shift that is so blatantly obvious. It's almost like she's having a nonchalant conversation about what the fucking weather was like that day. That's the vibe that I get from it.
And, like, to be JCS about it for a second, you know, you can't fully judge somebody based on their reaction in situations like this. Everybody reacts differently.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give her as much benefit of the doubt as we possibly can here.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. However, to be JCS about it for a second,
right.
31 days after I guess you could be a little numb to it at that point. I guess if you are like tirelessly searching for your daughter and now you're at this point. But also remember what I said earlier. She's literally just at her boyfriend's house.
Yeah.
It's not like she's fucking, you know, responding to a ransom note or something. There was no evidence of that. Nothing of the sort happened, right?
Right.
She also said that she received a phone call from allegedly Zenaida earlier that day, Zanny the nanny. And there's no record of that either.
Right.
So, on this night, on July 15th, an investigation was immediately started to find Kaylee. Because from the law enforcement perspective, they are already 31 days behind the ball on this. And something that I will say is that when I was watching Casey Anthony, An American Murder Mystery, the documentary on Hulu, the documentary had mentioned that in the law enforcement community, there was something of like a time window that applies to disappearances like this, not just for children, but also for adults. The more time that passes from the date, like the date and the hour and the minute of the disappearance, the worse that the outcome tends to be. That's how it usually pans out in these scenarios.
And the timeline they're working on is not usually 31 days.
No.
It's usually more like 48 hours.
Correct. So the family and the law enforcement agencies were in full-on panic mode. The search began on July 16th, one day after the 911 call from Cindy was placed. Casey was the main source of information for the police and the investigators heading up the search. She once again reiterated that when she last saw Kaylee, she had dropped her off at Zanny's apartment. Casey further revealed to investigators that Zanny the nanny was referred to her by a co-worker at Universal Studios named Jeffrey Hopkins. She claimed that Jeff had a son named Zach that Zanny also nannied, right? During an interview with Casey and the detectives, they asked her why, once again, why did she not call in the disappearance slash kidnapping earlier? Why did she wait 31 days? And again, she claimed that she thought that she could handle the situation herself and also feared that harm would come to her daughter if she got the police involved. She also further claimed, because they asked her, like, did you talk to anybody about this when it happened? She said that the only two people that she spoke to about the disappearance was Jeffrey Hopkins, the guy who referred Zanny the nanny to her, and another Universal employee named Juliette Lewis, who worked as an event coordinator in the same department as Casey allegedly did.
Cool, cool, cool. So let's just go talk to Jeffrey. And we'll see, you know, because if they were watching his kid, Zach, something might happen to Zach. So we should probably go check and see if Zach's okay.
Right.
So let's go swing over to Universal Studio and check it out, right?
And we're going to talk about Jeffrey. We're going to talk about Jeffrey in part two, my friend. Because he's there for the trial. I want you to know. He's there. Just hold on to that.
Wait, hold on. Wait, what?
Okay, so Jeffrey, take this out because I don't want this to be in the episode.
No, yeah. Jeffrey is a real person?
Jeffrey Hopkins is a real person, and he was brought in based on this evidence, based on what Casey had said about this, right? And he testified, and they were like, how would you describe your relationship to Casey Anthony? And he was like, I would describe us as acquaintances at best. Because Casey continued to fabricate this lie, like, oh, well, something might have happened to Zach, right? But no, because Jeffrey moved to North Carolina like a couple months ago, is what she said happened. And also she said that he worked there for X amount of years when he only worked there for 1 year and they barely worked together anyway. Also, and please, like, remember to take this out, whoever's editing this. Jeffrey doesn't have a fucking son. And he knows no one by the name of Zenaida.
Right.
And that's because Zanny isn't real, right?
Right, right. Oh my god.
It is so fucked up. Alright? Okay?
Okay. Okay. Alright?
So, at this point, the investigators asked if Casey knew where Zanny lived, and she claimed that she did. So, on July 16th, Casey and the investigators went to where Casey claimed that Zanny's apartment was. They got to the door. They knocked on the door, only to be met with no answer. When the investigators...
Well, because she left with Kaylee a month ago.
Right. Like, why are you going back to the kidnapper's apartment? Question mark? Which is allegedly the apartment door that you knocked on 32 days ago and didn't get your daughter back. Right?
Typical police incompetence.
This is all they have to go off of. When the investigators, well, and also, like, maybe if a kidnapping did occur there, then, like, maybe there's some evidence of a kidnapping happening there. You know what I mean?
I guess.
So, but during this process, the investigators peeked inside the apartment, and they saw that the apartment was completely vacant. No sign of anybody living there was present. Investigators, the police, then consulted with the property management of the complex to determine if Zenaida was a resident in that unit. The property management team for that complex complied with the investigation, and after searching through historical records, it was revealed that nobody by the name of Zenaida Rodriguez had ever lived in that apartment, and in fact, Zenaida's name was not found to have ever even lived at the complex. Okay? And at this point, Casey claims that Zenaida had been her nanny for like a year and a half, 2 years. You're telling me that you dropped your daughter off damn near every day that you had work, and you went to the wrong apartment, and furthermore went to the wrong apartment complex?
Yeah, like... But you know what? Addresses are hard, you know?
Fucking God, Kyle.
She could have, you know, she had just gotten a little mixed up.
Right,
like, they're not on the grid system like we are here out in Utah, you know?
Right. Furthermore, the apartment unit that Casey had led the investigators to had been vacant with nobody living in it for 6 goddamn months, Kyle. Nobody lived there for a while. An absolute dead end.
It could have been one of those underground daycare things, just kind of...
Stop!
Bungalow. Maybe she was paid in cash. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely, dude. You know what? I never thought about it like that. You know? Like, when you say it like that... I fucking can't, dude.
God damn it.
At this point, the investigation team additionally further probed into Casey's workplace, which we stated earlier in the episode was not a reality, but she once again claimed that she worked at Orlando Studios, Universal Studios in Orlando, as an event planner. And the investigation team went to Universal Studios with Casey to get more information. When they arrived, they literally show up. They go to Universal Studios.
Forget that Casey is with them for this. Oh my God.
Casey is with them with 3 detectives at this point. All right. 3 are there with her. When they arrived, Casey went up to the employee area and then went up to the security booth in the employee area and asked to be let in. When the guard at the booth looked up Casey's name, because it's not like she's wearing her badge, allegedly she's not wearing her work clothes right now or something. she was nowhere to be found in their records when he looked her up in the database. Casey, in front of investigators, asked the dude, check again. I definitely work here. Check the book again.
Dude, what I would pay to get a live stream of all three of these detectives' thoughts.
Dude,
while this was happening.
What an absolute fucking cacophony it must have been, dude.
Oh my god.
That is the strongest mental cocktail I've ever heard of. The investigators and Casey were eventually able to gain access to the employee area because of the investigation, right? As they were admitted, Casey essentially took them on a quote-unquote tour of the facility that literally lasted 25 minutes. And as they walked through the hallways, again, Casey had a very nonchalant demeanor about her. And she was really trying to sell the fact that she worked there. Like, she's fucking waving at people as she's passing them in the hallway, acting like she knew them. Like, hey, I'll see you at the fucking coffee machine on Tuesday, Brian. Shit like that. Shit like that, Kyle.
Oh my god.
As this was happening, Casey and the investigators were met with really confused stares by the people that they were passing by, with nobody giving any sort of indication that they knew Casey. Nobody was like, oh, hi, Casey. Good shit on Monday, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Oops. And I wish these investigators had been wearing body cams, dude. Oh,
yeah,
my
dude.
God.
Because this obviously, as Kyle is astutely pointing out, would raise the investigator's suspicions at this point, right? So she's taking them on a tour of this goddamn building, okay? They're like walking down hallways, turning corners and stuff like that. And as they approached a door at the end of one of these hallways, Casey stopped in front of the door, turned to the investigators, put her hands in her back pockets, laughed, and just point blank said to them, I don't actually work here. What? Dude, she literally reached a dead end and was like, I can't.
Again, lies that there is no possible way she doesn't get caught red-handed in. It's insane.
Do you want to know what I think is Herculean? Like, she made it this far. Like, they're literally following her around for like 25 minutes and they're like, all right. Like,
I mean, it's pretty impressive that, you know, she even got past security, honestly.
Like, she can like fudge her way through this. She's made it this far, which is astounding. Yeah. Which again, well, not again. Which kind of leads me to believe, and I think this is the first time that we're going to say it in the series, Kyle. To me, Casey Anthony is a pathological liar, which means that she's really good at lying and lying on the spot and like making it believable, honestly.
Yeah. To an average person that's not actively trying to look into truths and lies in what they're saying, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So when she turned around and laughed and put her hands in her back pockets and said, I don't actually work here, she was immediately like arrested. Okay. And she was taken into custody that day. Investigators probed more into Casey's alleged job history at Universal. And they found out that she had worked at Universal Studios, but she had not been working there for the past 2 years, basically since she had her daughter. When she did work at Universal, she was not an event planner or an event coordinator.
Did work at Universal?
She did. She worked at Universal for 10 months, I think, was her tenure there.
Okay.
But she wasn't an event planner. She was actually one of those fucking people that stand at the kiosk after you get off the Hulk ride and they sell you the pictures that they take of you when you're dropping down.
Stop.
Yes. Okay. That's.
Hey, respect it. You know, respect the hustle.
Yeah.
But like.
Yeah.
Just say that's what you're doing.
Just say they do this. Like, you might as well. Like, why did you lie about being an event coordinator? I don't get it, man. I really don't understand Casey Anthony at all. Like, none of it makes sense.
No. And again, I mean, it's because she's a pathological liar.
Exactly. Yeah. Additionally, she wasn't close with Jeffrey Hopkins. Jeffrey Hopkins was, like, knew Casey as an acquaintance at best, and also further revealed that Jeffrey didn't have any children, and also discovered that he knew nobody by the name of Zenaida Rodriguez Gonzalez. It was also discovered that her other Universal co-worker that she mentioned, Juliet Lewis, did not even fucking exist, Kyle. This is the first person that we're seeing that she has completely fabricated, and now they know that it's fabricated. Immediately after admitting to not working at Universal, Casey and the three detectives with her entered a room in the building for what was essentially an impromptu interrogation.
At Universal.
At Universal.
They didn't even bother with taking her back to the station. They were like, we need to talk to you right fucking now.
We're talking to you right fucking now. Exactly.
Oh my God, that's kind of crazy.
You're going to feel that tone in the clip that I'm about to show you, because we have fucking audio of this, Kyle. The three detectives that were with her were named Detective Melich, Detective Allen, and Detective Wells. And we're going to play you this clip, and oh my fucking God, there is nothing that I could say for this clip that would prepare you for it, so we are just going to do it.
Since I left you this morning, mm-hmm. I've gone to every address that you've told me. I came over here, I've already talked to all the employees. Mm-hmm. I found out all these names that you're giving me are people that either never worked here or have been fired here for a long time ago. Okay, so where we are right now is in a position that doesn't look very good for you. Because obviously, I know, and you know, that everything you've told me is a lie, correct?
Not everything that I told you.
Pretty much everything that you've told me, including where Kaylee is right now.
That I don't know where she is.
Sure you do. And let me explain something. Looking at you, I know that everything that you've told me is a lie. I am very confident, just by having talked to you the short period of time, that you know where she is.
I legitimately have not seen my daughter in 5 weeks. I didn't want anything happen to her, except I trusted her with somebody that had been taking care of her, that had been taking good care of her. Someone that she was comfortable with, that I was comfortable with.
What about Jeff? You said Jeff worked here until about 2 months ago?
No, he hasn't worked here for quite a while.
10 months? How long?
It's been at least 10 months.
Okay. He got fired in 2002. Years. He hasn't been an employee here since 2002.
We put a lot more together than I think you realize we put together. My question to you is, we're in this office because our purpose in coming here was to do what?
I'm trying to think of places where I know she's been.
You're not answering my question. Do you want us to help?
Yes.
You want to help us find your daughter?
I do want you to.
Well, a good starting point would be to answer the questions, okay? If I say you, we're here because, and then you just ignore that, like I never asked it, and go off in some other direction, is that answering the question?
No.
Okay. Well, let's go through this again. We're here because.
Because I lied, because I brought you up here, and honestly, I was reaching for
another avenue. No, stop right there. I want you to tell me how lying to us is going to help us find your daughter.
It's not going to.
Well, then if the main thing you want to do is find your daughter, and you don't think lying to us is going to help us find her, why would you do that?
Because I'm scared, and I know I'm running out of options. It's been a month.
What are you scared of?
I'm scared of not seeing my daughter ever again.
I'm a parent, too. I would have been beside myself.
I have been.
I would have called the police immediately, and that's the part that I just don't understand.
Well, I didn't know
we've got
what
so many resources out there that we could help on day one.
You didn't know what to do.
I didn't know what to do. At that point, I'm thinking, okay, they haven't been gone that long. Maybe I can find them. Maybe I can track them down.
We're not stupid, okay? And what you're doing right now is you're treating us like we're stupid. Everything that's coming out of your mouth is a lie. Everything. Either you gave Kaylee to someone and you don't want anyone to find out because you think you're a bad mom, or something happened to Kaylee and Kaylee's buried somewhere or in a trash can somewhere and you had something to do with it. Either way right now is not a very pretty picture to be painting. You're painting yourself as a very bad person. It needs to end.
The truthful thing is that I have not seen my daughter. The last time that I saw her was on the 9th of June.
Remember we had those two people that we were talking about, the person who had an accident and a person who's just a cold-blooded, callous monster? That's telling me that you are the second person, this cold-blooded, callous monster who doesn't care and doesn't want to help because she's afraid that something so heinous happened that everyone's going to look at her and say, she's a monster, she deserves to go away, she deserves to never see the light of day, this bad thing should happen to her. I don't want to believe that right now, but you're giving me your choice. Tell us what happened to Kaylee. Tell us what happened to Kaylee.
I dropped off Kaylee. And that's the last time that I've seen her. I dropped
her
off.
Where did you drop her off?
I dropped her off at that apartment.
No, you didn't.
That's exactly where I dropped her off.
Did you just think that one day she's just going to show up at your house?
No, I sat around yesterday trying to figure out what to do. I'm glad that I ended up seeing my mom, that all of that stuff happened. Happened for a reason because
you're glad you saw your mom. You could have saw your mom 5 weeks ago. Said mom, I don't know.
I saw my mom's reaction right off the bat, and it would have been the same from the get go.
So wait a minute. You're more afraid of your mom's reaction than you are if you ever see your daughter again.
No, I'm absolutely petrified. Absolutely petrified. I know my mom will never forgive me. I'm never gonna forgive myself.
Is it that there's some other thing more important in your life right now that you just weren't really focused on? What you were saying when you told us, so you kind of just accidentally told us you had an office here and we needed to be here, or did you purposely mislead us? Which of those two is it?
I purposely misled.
Okay, so you purposely misled us. This was all an attempt to help find your daughter, right? That makes sense to you, correct?
In a backwards sort of way, yes.
Backwards sort of way?
I'm coming back to places that are familiar to me that I know are familiar to her. Familiar situations that
what did you think?
Just maybe
how old is she?
Would help. She's almost three.
She's almost three. What do you think? She's going to take a cab here? I mean,
I know
how did you think she's going to get here?
Because she's with someone else.
She's with someone else who's hid her from you for 5 weeks.
Yes.
Why would a person who has hid your daughter from you for 5 weeks, okay, bring her to the building that you used to work at?
I don't know what else to do anymore. If I knew where she was, if something
well,
would have happened, I would have admitted that
a long
time
ago. Do you believe thinking up more lies to tell us will help us?
No. She's with someone that I absolutely do not trust, and that I'm absolutely scared that...
That you don't trust yet was babysitting your daughter for a year.
I don't trust her now because of what happened.
Who did you call first? Who did you go to for help first to help try to find her?
No one.
Oh, no one. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad we got that straightened out.
Damn.
I'm so mad.
Dude, I cannot fucking blame you. Let me bring us back in. So Kyle, that was a bit of a longer clip. That's probably one of the longest clips we've ever played on this show, maybe next to, I don't know, maybe something in part 7 of Jonestown. But like,
yeah.
How are you feeling right now? What do you make of this? There's a lot to talk about here.
I've watched a lot of interrogations in my tenure as a professor. That was one of the most frustrating interrogations. And frustrating isn't even quite the word for it. It's just like, to be a little bit morbid, it's like, maybe take this out. It's like somebody watching somebody drown and you keep like throwing them life preservers and flotation devices and they keep just like batting them away, you know, like she keeps every single time she just doubles down on the lie and tells a new lie and just makes it worse for herself, even after she has admitted to lying to them.
That's one of the first things she says in that clip.
To lie to them.
Correct. And just to notate what you're saying there, that's one of the first things that she says in that clip that we just listened to is,
yeah,
they're like, why are we here? Why are we doing this? And she's like, because I lied to you.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be like, no, why are we here? To me, he's trying to get her to say, to find my daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're here because I'm trying to find my daughter, which she keeps on saying other things other than I'm trying to find my daughter, which is something that is unfortunately very important in this case. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll take this out, but one of the things that is so infuriating about this is that whenever the subject is Kaylee Anthony, her missing daughter, at this point, missing daughter,
mm-hmm.
she is always changing it to something else or deflecting it, or she is emotionless when she talks about Kaylee every yeah. single time.
Yes. Oh, man.
And it's like, I think the thing that that particular moment in the clip tells us is that her mind is not on her daughter. Her mind is not on Kaylee, at least not in this moment. Because mm-hmm. when she's asked, what are we doing here? It's something else. It's about me because I lied to you.
And she's acting like she's a teenager that got caught sneaking out again.
Dude.
You know, dude. Like yeah. she's not the level that she is operating on emotionally to me. And I know I defended it earlier in the show. I was, it's called a bit. The emotional level that she is on to me does not match, obviously, the consequences or the stakes of this situation.
Correct.
You know, she's acting yes. like, oh yeah, I, you know, I lied. I'm sorry. Like, they're just going to be like, don't do it again.
Finger wag you. Yeah, exactly.
You're grounded for a month. No texting Chris this week, you know, like.
You can't see Tony Lazzaro this week, honey.
Yeah.
Like.
Okay. And it's so infuriating because her 3-year-old daughter is missing.
Correct. Something else that I think is also very, very interesting in this. So let's also talk about when she mentioned, so she doubles down again and says that Kaylee, the last time she saw her was when she was with Zenaida, right? She dropped her off at the nanny's house.
Right.
And then she furthermore states later in this clip that we just played that she's actually really happy that she went over to her mom's and that all of this stuff is happening. Presumably the subtext of that is like, now I have help. Now we're getting closer to finding Kaylee, right? That would be presumably the subtext of that, right? But something that I
interpret it.
Mm-hmm. But something that I pointed out to Kyle while we were listening to the clip that you guys didn't hear is that she says, I'm so glad that I saw my mom. Like, you didn't see your mom. You didn't go out of your way to see your mom. And this is something that the detective brings up. Like, your mom drove to your boyfriend's house, Tony Lazzaro's house, and fucking got you because you got her car impounded, which is under her name that she let you use to go on this business trip to Tampa.
And she didn't find out about it from you.
Nope.
She found out about it from the fucking impound lot.
Uh-huh. And, again, trunk smelled like dead people rot.
And, like, we weren't, correct me if I'm wrong, take this out if I am, we weren't speculating earlier when we said that her father would recognize the smell because he was a cop. He said that himself.
Correct. He did say that it smelled like a dead body decomposing. And from the 911 clip earlier that we listened to, where Cindy, her mother, is calling, for those of you who didn't listen to that 911 call, she says, and I quote, it smells like there's been a damn dead body in the car.
Mm-hmm.
which is significant to me. The detective then like brings up like, well, you could have seen your mom 5 weeks ago when Kaylee went missing. Like, what are you doing?
And I think one of the parts that pisses me off most about that investigation or about that clip specifically is that, you know, that exact moment where 15 seconds ago, she's like, I'm so glad this is finally happening. I'm so glad I went over to my mom's and that you guys got called. And then the cop's like, okay, well, why didn't you go to your mom 5 weeks ago? And she says, well, this would have just happened. Like, the same thing would have happened. And I'm like, yes. What? Yeah, but it would have happened a month sooner, and you would have had a way higher chance of finding your daughter.
What, if that's what you actually cared about. If that's what you care about.
That's a bad thing.
Uh-huh. Because I don't know if you folks remember, but I just told you guys a couple pages of outline ago that as soon as Cindy heard about this, she immediately, the day of, called the sheriff's office. Called 911 to report Kaylee missing.
And also, one line that I found really important and intriguing is when she said, my mother would never forgive me and I will never forgive myself. Because she is already mentally and, you know, publicly taking the blame for what happens here. What has happened.
Kind of.
Right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And obviously, you know, a parent is going to blame themselves on a certain level if their child is kidnapped. But, like,
of course,
they are also going to blame the kidnapper.
Correct. I don't mean to laugh, but that is so true, Kyle. No. Like, you bring up an excellent point with that, because
she's already acting like she's the one that's going to get in trouble for what happened to Kaylee.
Yes, exactly. She's like, I didn't want to tell anyone because I thought I was going to get in trouble. Again, that self-centeredness that we were just talking about. And I don't know if you guys can tell from the clip, but Kyle mentioned this while we were listening to the clip. There's no good cop in this room. There is only bad cop in this room. And whether it's by virtue of their job or whether these three detectives actually genuinely care about finding case or Kaylee Anthony, their intent with this interview, at the very least, is to gain more information about Kaylee's whereabouts to find her.
And as someone who has seen a lot of interviews, again, I feel like these three detectives, their training was kicking in.
Correct.
They were doing such a good job in this interrogation.
I agree. And something else that I also think is interesting is that Detective Allen says, so you kind of just accidentally told us that you had an office here and we needed to be here, or did you purposely mislead us? And Casey says, I purposely misled you. Once again, admitting to fucking lying.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably the part that is the stupidest logical reasoning that Casey Anthony has come up to this point in this case is when they're like, why would you bring us here? And she says, I'm trying to go back to familiar places and familiar situations that my daughter would know about, which again, remember this, my friends, Casey Anthony did not work at Universal Studios pretty much the entire time that Kaylee was fucking alive. So, and even if Kaylee was alive for like 6 months while she was working at Universal, if that's the timeline that we're working with, you're telling me that a 6 month old child would be like, oh yeah, my mom works at the amusement park in Orlando in Orange County.
No.
No. It's ridiculous. Anything else you want to say about this clip?
Nah.
Perfect.
I think we covered it.
So like I said, they arrested Casey and they took her back to jail. And you know how you get that phone call, the phone call that you get to make while you're in there, maybe a couple phone calls depending on what state, what jail, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Casey got that phone call. And Casey decided to use this call to call her family's landline, her family's house landline, where Cindy and George live. And during this call, she had a conversation with her mother, Cindy, her brother, Lee, and her best friend at the time, Christina. Okay? Once again, to show you how crazy and disconnected Casey Anthony is from the disappearance of her daughter, we're going to play an audio clip of this fucking phone call for you folks right now. In this clip, Casey Anthony is, for the first time, I think that we hear, at least in our series, is genuinely distraught, frustrated, and upset, but it is unfortunately not for the reasons that you would think. Just before this phone call took place, Casey saw her mother, Cindy, on the news talking about Kaylee's disappearance. Here is this fucking phone call.
Casey?
Mom.
Hey, sweetie.
Hey. Oh, I just saw your nice little cameo on TV.
Which one?
What do you mean, which one?
Which one? I did 4 different ones, and I don't know. I haven't seen them all. I've only seen 1 or 2 so far.
You don't know what my involvement is in stuff?
Casey?
Mom.
What?
No.
I don't know what your involvement is, sweetheart. You're not telling me where she's at.
Because I don't f***ing know where she's at. Are you kidding me?
Casey, don't waste your call to no. scream and holler at
waste
me.
Waste my call sitting in the jail?
Whose fault is you sitting in the jail? You're blaming me that you're sitting in the jail?
Not
blame
my
yourself
fault.
For telling lies. You mean it's not your fault? What do you mean it's not your fault, sweetheart? If you'd have told them the truth and not lied about everything, they wouldn't...
Do me a favor, just tell me what Tony's number is. I don't want to talk to you right now.
I don't have his number.
We'll get it from Lee because I know Lee's at the house. Get Tony's number for me.
Hey.
Hey, can you give me Tony's number?
I can do that. I don't know what real good it's going to do you at this point.
Well, I'd like to talk to him anyway.
Okay.
Because I called to talk to my mother, and it's f***ing waste. Oh, by the way, I don't want any of you coming up here when I have my first hearing for bond and everything else. Like, don't even waste your time coming up here.
You're making it real tough for anybody to want to try to... I'm not going around and around with you. That's pretty pointless. Christina would love to talk to you because she thinks that you will tell her what's going on. Frankly, we're going to find out. Everything
I have no clue where Kaylee is. If I knew where Kaylee was, do you think any of this would be happening? No.
Anyway, you only got a couple minutes for this, so I'm not going to let you completely waste it. Here's Christina. She thinks she can get through.
No. I want Tony's number. I'm not talking to anybody else.
Hello?
Hi. I'm glad everybody's at my house. Do me a favor. Get my brother back because I need Tony's number.
Does Tony have anything to do with Kaylee?
No. Nothing.
Okay, so why do you want to talk to Tony?
He's my boyfriend, and I want to actually try to sit and talk to him because I didn't get a chance to talk to him earlier because I got arrested on whim today. I just want to talk to Tony and get a little bit of...
Casey, you have to tell me if you know anything about Kaylee.
Sweetheart,
if anything happens with Kaylee, Casey, I'll die. You understand? I'll die. If anything happens to that baby.
Oh my God. Calling you guys? Waste. Huge waste.
Bruh.
What? Bruh. The fuck, dude?
Dude. Mm-mm. I cannot express to the folks at home enough how absolutely frustrated I am. And how frustrated I was doing this research when I heard that clip. Oh my actual God, dude.
Imagine your daughter is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And you are in jail under false pretenses because you, in theory, did not do anything to your daughter.
Right.
And your best friend gets emotional about it. And your response is calling you was a waste of time.
Yep. And I mean, just to speak to the gravity of this for a second, to kind of bring it back home for a second before we just continue to shit on Casey here for a second. It's, it, it, everybody around her, everybody around the Anthony family, including the members of the Anthony family who is not Casey Anthony, is desperately, desperately trying to search and help the efforts to find Kaylee. Their mm-hmm. focus is on Kaylee Anthony's disappearance. And to me, in this clip in particular, Christina's, her best friend's excerpt is the most heartbreaking part, because Christina gets genuinely emotional during this clip. You can tell, if nothing else, that Christina cares about her best friend's daughter, mm-hmm. right? And that is something that is so, I mean, it's just gut-wrenching. I know I keep on saying it, but like, it is just so sad. And the reality of the situation genuinely is, we do not know where Kaylee is. Her mom just did 4 press interviews trying to get the word out. You know what I mean? Trying to help shed some light, because let's not forget that, like, bringing a lot of attention to a missing child to, like, allegedly millions of people, right, mm-hmm. is a good way to see if anybody can find her. Because if they know what she looks like, they know what her name is, they know who she allegedly might be with, people can look for that stuff.
Exactly.
It's like sending out an Amber Alert. It's like, if you see a Toyota Corolla that's black with this license plate number, call the police, please. You know what I mean? I just feel like that's important to be said in this moment right now.
Yeah.
Something else that I will notate here is a continuation of what we were talking about from the last clip. It is unfortunate that Casey Anthony, in this moment, in this call back to her parents' house, her entire focus is on herself and her wants. Right? And what does she want this entire clip, Kyle?
To talk to Tony Lazzaro.
To talk to Tony Lazzaro. And when confronted about it by Christina, Christina's like, does Tony Lazzaro have anything to do with this? Like, is Tony involved with Kaylee? And she's like, no, absolutely not. Well, then why do you want to talk to Tony? And her reasoning is, I was gonna
talk to him earlier,
but I didn't get a chance to because I was arrested on a fucking whim, is what she says. Which, what it? Dude, for all of the shit that she said, like, you think that you were arrested on a goddamn whim?
And also, do you think the detectives and the police weren't keeping her family in the loop too? Like,
of course.
Come on.
And this is why Casey at the beginning of the clip, I didn't explain this before the clip, but this is why Casey at the beginning of that phone call confronts her mom and is like, so you don't think that she's basically saying, like, so you don't think I'm being forthcoming. You think that I know where Kaylee is.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom's like, well, you're not telling me anything. And everything that you've said is a lie.
Also, shout out Lee in that clip, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He's fully just like, dude, you are acting suspicious as fuck, and you're also acting like a huge bitch right now. So, yeah. What the fuck is going on, dude?
You're making it hard for anyone to want to help you, and Tony isn't going to help you either. I don't know why you're so caught up on this. Yeah, shout out to Lee Anthony. So, the next day after her arrest, Casey Anthony hired Jose Baez as her attorney, who we are going to be discussing so much more in detail. Yeah.
He's a next big week. Character in this case.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. The case immediately.
This is when they like hook up and shit, right? They be fucking.
No, I think that's Jody Arias.
That's Jody Arias. Yeah. Okay.
Easy to get the two confused, honestly. For me too. Because they both kind of revolve around the same thing, like pretty young woman, blah, 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 desirable, yeah. Blah, 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 which we're going to talk about. This case immediately garnered national attention. Casey and Kaylee's faces were plastered all over the news, all over TV, on the covers of magazines, and the Anthony family even started a fundraiser to help find Kaylee on July 25th of 2008.
Mm-hmm. This was like the second, I mean, I guess technically third thing I remember being like the center of the news cycle for a hot minute. It was 9/11, obviously, and then the kidnapping of Elizabeth Smart, and then this.
Yep, you because know, Susan Powell happens a year after this.
Yep. Crazy. Oh my God.
And very much to what Kyle is saying, this was an all-out, full-on, fourth-down blitz. Like, this was a media fucking frenzy. And again, a lot of the focus during this was on Kaylee, but a lot of it was also on Casey Anthony. Everybody was talking about Casey Anthony in particular. And this is the part where we're going to talk about this aspect of the case. And I fucking hate talking about this because it is productive in the way that we analyze this in retrospect, but it is so unproductive during the time. Not dissimilar to a Ted Bundy type of story, Casey Anthony was and still is perceived as a conventionally attractive person physically. This is something that fueled the attention of this case. I know, she's kind of mid. Yeah, she's kind of mid.
I don't know, the whole child killing vibe that she has going on, really.
Oh, yeah.
It really doesn't do for me.
Dude, she's a 10, but she murdered her daughter and lied about working at Universal Studios.
Dude, she's like a 7.
Take that out, please.
On a good day, please take that out.
Please take that out. Whoever's editing this. But this is something that fueled the attention on the case, was the fact that Casey Anthony, at the time, by and large, by a lot of people, was considered to be a pretty young woman, right? Mm-hmm. I had also mentioned earlier in the outline that the Anthony family was essentially the embodiment of the American nuclear family, with a young, attractive mother, two loving grandparents, and a sweet, cute, innocent little baby child that was now missing. The initial story at the time when this broke was that the babysitter, Zanny the nanny, had kidnapped Kaylee Anthony, which was a horrifying, and I mean horrifying, circumstance to think about. And it struck a nerve with a lot of people at the time. The fact that a babysitter, someone who you could know and trust to watch over your children, would be capable of taking that child away. That frightened so many people at the time. Understandably so.
Yeah.
Casey initially was painted as a relatable single mother who was now in distress over her daughter's disappearance. However, this did change on July 29th when, during a court proceeding, a judge denied keeping the 911 call that Cindy made private as a part of the investigation. Florida, for all of its flaws, and I'm saying this as a Florida man, for all of its flaws, their sunshine laws are exquisite to me. The fact that all of this information is so open and so readily available, especially when it's so close to the case, is an absolute fucking godsend to me.
Mm-hmm.
For all the problems with the legal system, for all the problems with Florida, this is one of the things that I truly admire about the state when it comes to real shit like this.
Yeah.
The 911 call was made public. And when people heard that shit, Kyle, the tone almost immediately shifted.
Yeah.
People were flabbergasted at Casey's reactions on the 911 phone call, and she was immediately villainized as soon as this was made public. Initially perceived as a loving mother, she was now being repeatedly scrutinized as a terrible, dog shit, awful monster.
Oh no.
Oh no. The media also had a frenzy with this aspect of the news cycle. The media portrayed her as an absent mother who just went to parties, fucked around with multiple men, and there was a whole thing about her lower back tattoo as an indication of poor motherhood.
I do remember the lower back tattoo being covered.
And I also, I didn't put this in the outline because I didn't know this until right before we started recording, but Kyle brought up to me that allegedly, because one of the only sources that we could find on it was the Daily Mail.
Yeah, so but, take it with a big ol' salt pill.
But one of the alleged things that happened after Kaylee went missing is that 4 days after her daughter disappeared, apparently Casey Anthony allegedly, and I actually am using allegedly in this case, entered a hot body contest.
Yeah, 4 days after she went missing.
Which, again, we cannot confirm or deny that that happened. But if that is, if that is the case, oh my actual fucking God.
Mm-hmm.
You are a monster at that point.
Yeah.
You are literally a sociopath, psychopath, fucking murderer, fucking whatever.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hope that that could be true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am going to say this right here, and Kyle may not agree with me on this, and that's fine. This is the only time I'm going to say this. This all wasn't necessarily true. I don't know if you guys remember the year 2008 at all, but oh my God. You thought that we were addicted to the fucking drama and the Kardashians and it's trash now, which it is, but you thought it was, you think that that's happening now? It was so much trashier and so much worse during that era.
For sure. And I think there's a big, you know, in retrospect, looking back on this coverage from 2024, there is a pretty large aspect of what if, even if it is true, so.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
Does her having, you know, several boyfriends in a short span and a back tattoo and going to some parties, does that make her a bad mother? No. Does killing her daughter and covering it up and not reporting it for a month make her a bad mother?
Yes. And this is one of the things that me and Kyle were talking about before we started recording the episode. This is unfortunately, once again, like I said, like a very unproductive conversation to have at this point in real time in 2008. What an unproductive thing to be doing as the media, because this has nothing to do with Kaylee's disappearance. It barely talks about her character, as Kyle just mentioned, because having a tramp stamp doesn't make you a bad person. Neither does drinking.
In 2008.
I know. In 2008. And this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly the social dynamic that we're commentating on right now, Kyle, is like they thought that that was important when it never was. And it took away from what was actually important in this scenario, which is the unfortunate, frustrating aspect of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of photos of Casey circulated of her drinking, going out to bars, blah, blah, blah. People saw her fucking back tattoo.
Right.
However, all of this to say, regardless of, you know, this little blurb that we just went on, which is the smallest little blurb that we will ever go on to say something in quote unquote Casey Anthony's defense. This is all to say that the attitude towards Casey and her family dramatically shifted, not only in the eyes of the public, but in the eyes of the law. with all of the shifts in the demeanor of Casey Anthony and her family and the story, the waters were only getting more and more muddied at this point. And it seemed like with every conversation anyone had with Casey Anthony, we were getting farther and farther away from any hope of finding or rescuing Kaylee Anthony. As we said, Casey hired an attorney at this point. And this is where it really starts to accelerate as we near the trial. And that is where we are going to pick up next week in part two of our series on the death of Kaylee Anthony and the somewhat case study of her mother, Casey Anthony.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Oh my God. Way to bookend it, Kyle. I really appreciate that as someone who is a creator with you.
Oh my God, Arden. As always, coming in with the fucking heat for our true crime series. I cannot imagine a better way to step back into this realm.
Oh, man.
Phenomenal research with this outline, as always.
Thank you very much.
And as always, with our series, we're going to save our back ass word stance for the end of the series. Not that I think we made it super hard to tell where we stand
in this episode.
I think the biggest thing that stood out to me this week is really, and I think it's the biggest thing that should stand out to people, and you might agree, is Casey's demeanor. In those first two clips that we listened to, the first 911 call and that interrogation with the detectives at Universal Orlando.
Yes.
Because she is so, it's not even nonchalant. It's like she doesn't even understand why they are making such a big deal about it.
Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of what I meant when I said that she's like a teenager that got caught sneaking out, you know? Like, yeah. She is so not on the level that she should be.
No.
And it is so, you know, knowing how this story ends, it is so infuriating.
Yes, it very much is. And I guess to kind of give a little preface to next week's episode, like, we are going to be talking about, because again, for those of you who know this case, Kaylee's remains are discovered eventually. Yeah.
And it's
one of those things that when I first listened to this story, or when I first came across this story, it's a horrifying circumstance that unfortunately lives in my mind rent free forever, and I cannot get it out of my brain. And it's such a hard case to talk about. It's so difficult emotionally to approach subject matter like this because, again, to speak to the gravity of what's going on, a 2.5-year-old is missing. And her mom took 31 days to tell someone who would actually do something about it. Because she said that she told two people and one of them didn't even fucking exist. Do you really think she told her acquaintance, Jeffrey, who hadn't worked at Universal since 2002? No, because to speak to that, anybody who heard that would also call the police immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I fucking hate her, dude.
Yeah. It's, it's like, it's not even anger. It's, you know, it's rage at the system that failed this girl, the mother that failed this girl. And, you know, I know a couple of good things came out of this story, we did get Kaylee's Law put in place. Not to put a spoiler at the end of the first episode, but there was a law. And that's the thing. They literally made what she did illegal, but then did not find her.
I know, dude. I know. It's so frustrating to talk about true crime because of shit like that. Because, I mean, we could talk about it all night. It, to me, it's so blatantly obvious. Like, not to get into the back assward stance, but it's so blatantly obvious. And, like,
it's just only going to become more obvious over the next couple of weeks here.
Oh, yeah. You thought that this episode pissed you off? The trial is going to piss you off, my friends. Oh. The trial. Oh, my actual God, dude. It is.
It's like, and I would say it's on par with like the fucking O.J. Simpson trial. Almost.
O.J. Simpson.
You know what I mean?
It's almost as big of a joke as like Ted Bundy representing himself in court. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? And then the judge being like, you're a great young man. I wish you would have practiced law and not been a fucking necrophiliac. Like, what is going on?
And, like, the media would literally not be talking about the content of the case or what the case was talking about during that day of the trial. They would be talking about what she was wearing that day and how her makeup looked. And
I cannot tell you how hard we all fumbled this moment collectively as a unit. Yeah.
It's next week's going to be rough. If you thought this week was more than you bargained for, next week is going to be... even worse, I imagine. I'm not doing the outline, but good luck, Arden. I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah. Again, if you made it to the end of this episode, get yourself something sweet to munch on. You definitely deserved it. It's a lollipop episode. Oh my God, Kyle has milk duds. I'm so jealous.
I got my milk duds right here.
Those are my dad's favorite, by the way.
Dude, they're so good. They're one of my like once or twice a year I get a good craving for them. You know.
Yeah, I love those. I love those snacks.
And I hope that once or twice a year you get a good craving for this amazing podcast, because you're listening to it right now and we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, everyone.
Thank you. It means so much to be able to do content like this, and I really appreciate you folks listening from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you.
You can subscribe and review if you are enjoying the show, and if you think someone else will enjoy the show, please share it with them.
Because word of mouth is the best way to spread that the Back Asswards podcast, when they approach true crime, we only punch up. And you know.
You know.
That the Back Asswards podcast always punches up, and that they're your favorite podcast.
If you're enjoying the show, you can check out our previous episodes. I would recommend... that's a good light episode after this one.
Yeah, after a lollipop episode.
You know what? We haven't recommended it nearly enough. I would recommend our episode on what me and Arden just both agreed is arguably our best episode of the show. At least like a top contender. 10 Cent Beer Night.
Oh my God. 10 Cent Beer Night. Dude, I'm telling you right now, if you don't have a physical lollipop or any sort of like milk dud equivalent to munch on after this episode, 10 Cent Beer Night will cheer you up real fucking quick.
Such a crazy story,
it's so crazy. Kyle did such a good job. Kyle was a sportsman for an entire episode, and I loved it.
Full hour of my life I was a sportsman.
Highly recommend 10 Cent Beer Night. Can't recommend it enough, actually.
You can follow me and Arden on Twitter. I'm at @BackAssWordKyle. Arden is at @Arden_Smith. And you can follow the podcast on all of your favorite social medias. On Twitter, @BackAssWordsPod. Instagram, @BackAssWordsPod. TikTok, @BackAssPod. And on Facebook, search the Back Asswords Podcast. You can also, if you are really, really enjoying the show, support us over on Patreon. We forgot to do the plug at the top of the show again.
What up?
We'll get there eventually. Yeah. And we're such an organized outfit that we get all of our plugs in the right spots sometimes. Mm-hmm. But what we do without fail every single time is deliver our weekly bonus episode for our $5 tier over on Patreon. That's right. You get a bonus episode every single week, and you get to be all parasocial with us in the Discord. Come and chat with us. We'll talk with you. You can ask us questions about the episodes. And you also get, we haven't plugged this part in a minute. You get your fucking icebreaker questions back over there. You missed the icebreakers. Yes. Go over to Patreon. We have them over there for you.
The Wednesday phenomenon. It's such a fun time, folks. You should really join us over there.
It's a ton of fun. I'm Kyle.
I'm Arden.
And we will see you next week. I don't really have a bit. This is a really sad episode.
Yes.
But we'll see you next week. Stay safe. Stay weird. We love you guys.
The danger is real, my friends. Please take care of yourselves. See ya.